Beautiful. Why don't we bring it back together? A beautiful sound of God's people being together. I know that you're currently going through a series on Sabbath. I think that's a really beautiful and cool series to be doing. And I know you've been journeying through a little bit some of the teachings that come from Practicing the Way, an organization set up by a pastor called John Mark Comer. I'm a big fan of John Mark, so well done. It sounds like a really exciting series to be doing. And I know last week that Matt gave you sort of a bit of an intro into the series. I did manage to have a little watch of Matt's sermon. Well done, Matt. Where is Matt? Oh, there he is. Well done. Great job, bro. A little bit long, but it's all good. I'm very good at sticking to my time, so don't worry. He says in faith. So while Matt's sermon last week was maybe a little bit more of an intro, a kind of big picture, 10,000 foot view of what is this thing called Sabbath and why should we be doing it, today I want to kind of drill down a little bit in just one text. So we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 5 and the Sabbath commandments seen there in verses 12 to 15. So just three verses. So while Matt tried to cover a whole load of different sections of the Bible, I'm just going to look at three verses today and kind of drill deep into the text. So if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to have that open up there with you, or if you want to have it on your phone, or we do have it on the screen. There we go. So why don't I read this text? In our church, we like to stand as a way of honoring God's word. So could we do that? Is that okay? And let's just bring our attention before the word of God as we come to our message. This is Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Well, why don't you grab a seat? And why don't I pray as we begin? Let's pray. Lord God, we pray and ask that today in this place, living God who has spoken before through your word, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, speak again today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures have been read, and your word is now proclaimed, Lord, might we hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Back in 2017, I participated in a six-month internship program at the Village Church in the Waikato in Hamilton. So that was the church I grew up in, and it was mainly a kind of internship program for school leavers. And so after high school, not really knowing what to do with my life, I participated in this program, and it was 6 months, and we did a whole load of really cool stuff. We helped out with our kids' ministries and our youth ministries, and we did a short-term mission trip over to Cambodia where we had some friends who were working over there, and it was a really great program. And then at the end of the 6 months, I remember we met in this little room at the back of one of our buildings, and we sat around this round table. And one of our pastors, Pastor Dave Campbell, he kind of helped us reflect a little bit on this time that we had had. And upon our kind of reflection on the last 6 months, he just asked us two questions. One, kind of looking backwards, what have you learned, like looking back over the last 6 months, what are some of the highlights, what are some of your learnings over the last 6 months? So we look backwards. And then secondly, his other key question was, now at the end of this program, looking forwards, what is next for you? So we kind of looked backwards and we looked forwards. And then we kind of went around the room and shared some of our reflections with each other. In a similar sort of way, the book of Deuteronomy is a book that is located at a kind of a key transition point in the history of Israel. It's a book that looks backwards and it looks forwards. It looks backwards to Egypt and it looks forwards to the Promised Land. So we're going to dive into the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 5 here. The book of Deuteronomy is a book that picks up the story of the people of God where the book of Numbers had left off. If you've ever done a Bible through the year, or if you've been a Christian for a long time, you know your Bible well, you might be familiar with the kind of larger story of the Bible. And at this point in the story, Moses and Israel, having gone through the wilderness, they've now arrived at the plains of Moab near the Jordan River, and they're just now preparing to enter into the Promised Land. But just before the people get ready to enter into this new land, Moses gives a long speech to the people to remind them about where they have come from. The book of Deuteronomy is then a book that is sort of made up of a number of main speeches, basically three main speeches, or perhaps we could even say sermons, maybe, that Moses gives, that he preaches to the people of Israel to call them to continue to be faithful to the Lord their God as they begin to enter into this new land. Are you following me? So, near the beginning of the second of these speeches by Moses, we find the famous Ten Commandments. And at the center of these Ten Commandments, we find the commandment to practice and observe the Sabbath. And as we'll discover a little bit as we look through our text today, if you look very closely between this one and the Exodus version of the Ten Commandments, there's actually a few little differences. But for now, let's just note here that in Deuteronomy, this key commandment is divided here. You might be able to even see there in your Bible or on the text on the screen. The commandment's divided here by the two key verbs, observe, verse 12, and remember, verse 15. Observe and remember. So the people here then are called to firstly observe and practice the Sabbath as a commandment to them. And then secondly, they are given the purpose or the reason, or perhaps we could say the motivation, if you like, which is to remember. So observe and remember. And so here in this text, we are told both how to practice the Sabbath, and we are also told what is the purpose of this practice. And so there's many things we could learn about Sabbath. And all I want to do today is briefly just look at this text and look at these two key ideas, the practice and the purpose. The practice and the purpose. Does that sound all right? Sound good? All right. Let's begin then with the practice. So beginning at the top of our text. A Sabbath, as Matt showed us last week, is simply put, just one day a week where we stop working and rest, and as our text here begins by telling us, we practice the Sabbath because the Lord God has commanded us to. But even more than this, if you follow the logic of our text, this text also tells us here how we are to practice the Sabbath. So let me here offer two key observations. Firstly, the text here says that we are to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, by keeping it holy. And the word holy there can mean simply to remove something from the sphere of the normal or the common, to set it apart. And so to keep the Sabbath holy means to set it apart, to make it special. The Sabbath then is a different sort of day to the other 6 days of the week. One writer I read says that we should look forward to the Sabbath like children look forward to Christmas morning. It's a day to be excited about and to be looking forward to. So, the Sabbath should be holy. It's a special day set aside to rest. But let me also just point out here, notice the comprehensive sort of language that is used. Notice that the text says on 6 days the people are to do all their work. And on the Sabbath day they are not to do any work, all any. So it's not probably the case that we are to have a sort of a half day or a bit of the day to rest and then have a bit of the day to quickly send off a few emails and run a few errands. The language here rather suggests that we are simply not to do any work on the Sabbath. Any work on the Sabbath. And it's envisioned as a day of total rest. Abraham Joshua Heschel. It's a great name. Abraham Joshua. I mean, you're really doing well. In his classic book on Sabbath, he writes this: rest on the Sabbath as if all your work were done, or rest even from the thought of labor. Rest even from the thought of labor. So, Sabbath rest, the rest day, it's comprehensive, as on it we rest from all work. But you might be thinking, what is work? What exactly is work? Well, I don't want to sort of get into the weeds a little bit and get too legalistic here and try and define exactly what we mean by work. But I do think it's helpful here to point out and draw a little bit of a distinction between a Sabbath and a day off. A Sabbath and day off. And I know Matt pointed briefly alluded to this a little bit last week. Commenting on the meaning of the word Sabbath, Shabbat, Eugene Peterson writes this. I love this. A widespread misunderstanding of Sabbath trivializes it by designating it as a day off. A day off is a bastard Sabbath. I just said that in church. Lord, forgive me. Days off are not without benefits, to be sure, but Sabbath they are not. However beneficial, this is not a true but a secularized Sabbath. In a day off, the motivation is utilitarian. It makes us feel better. The purpose is to restore strength, increase motivation, and keep performance incentives as high as possible. But Sabbath simply means quit, stop, take a break, cool it. The word itself has nothing devout or holy in it. It is a word about time, denoting our non-use of it, what we usually call wasting time. Thank you, Eugene, for that insight. And so, God calls us to practice Sabbath, to set one day a week aside as holy, as a special day of total rest, a day to totally stop. And if you've ever tried to do this, you'll probably find out pretty quickly this will mean you'll probably have to make a plan. Unfortunately, days where you have nothing absolutely, where no one is trying to contact you and you have nothing to do, they don't tend to come around very naturally and easily. We probably have to make a little bit of a plan. And so if it's helpful, for me personally, I practice Sabbath on a Monday. Sunday is often a bit of a work day. This is not a day off for me, by the way. So I practice Sabbath on a Monday. So normally after church, after our family have gathered on a Sunday morning, in the Sunday afternoon, I then try and prepare as best as I can. So I boost it to the supermarket, quickly do my groceries, come home, try and do my laundry and my budget or any other chores I can do. And then in the evening, just as the Sabbath is beginning, I like to read a psalm, pour a good glass of red wine, listen to some Olivia Dean, anybody? Listen to some music and kind of just rest and enter into a day of rest. And then I try and turn my phone fully off And then in the next morning, I try to leave it off for the first hour of the day and enter into a rest day with God. So, Sabbath is a day that we are to look forward to, and it's a day of total rest. You still with me? So, first of all, we are called to practice Sabbath, and our text, as we've seen, has already given us a couple of indicators what exactly that looks like. But now I want to turn to the second half of the text, which is marked there by that second verb, remember. And here we see what the purpose of practicing Sabbath is. So, we've had the practice, the how, and now we come to the purpose, the why. So let's look now at the purpose of Sabbath according to Deuteronomy 5. And here I want to suggest for us that there are basically two main aspects, according to this text, of the purpose of Sabbath. Sabbath is about remembering God, and Sabbath is about remembering others. Sabbath is about remembering God, and Sabbath is about remembering others. So, let's look at these two a little bit together. First of all, Sabbath is about remembering God. As I alluded to a little bit briefly at the beginning of our sermon, there's a couple of differences here in this Sabbath commandment and the one given back in Exodus 20. In Exodus, you might remember, the people are commanded to remember the creating work of God and the rest of God back in Genesis. On the seventh day of creation, God rested. And then from that memory, God's people are called to keep a day of rest. So the logic of the Exodus text is basically this: remember, therefore, keep. Remember, therefore, keep. However, here in Deuteronomy, you might notice the logic is the other way around. Here in Deuteronomy, it's not about remembering and then keeping, but the reverse. The people in this instance are instead called to keep or observe and then remember. You following me? So, Exodus is remember, therefore keep. Deuteronomy, keep and then remember. So, the structure of the commandment is flipped. And while in Exodus, as Matt showed us last week, the key motivation for keeping the Sabbath is grounded in God's work of creation. But here in Deuteronomy, the key motivation for keeping the Sabbath is grounded in God's work of redemption and the rescuing of his people from slavery in Egypt. And so both of these texts call God's people to practice the Sabbath, but they give us different reasons why. Why might that be, you might ask? Well, let me tell you. We must remember that here in Deuteronomy, God's people are about to enter into the promised land of milk and honey. And the memory of slavery in Egypt is now no longer as close, and Moses knows that it will be very easy for God's people to forget where they have come from, to forget their God, and to forget who they are. And so all throughout Deuteronomy, Moses is very big on remembering. If you ever want to read through the book of Deuteronomy, good luck. But you'll notice if you pay attention closely, Moses keeps saying this word, remember, remember, remember. Let me give you just a few examples so you know I'm not lying. He says this. This is Deuteronomy 7:18. Moses says, just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all Egypt. In 8:18, he says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power and wealth. In 16:12, he says, remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observed these statutes. In 24:18, he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God rescued you from there. I could go on, but you get the idea. Moses is very keen on remembering. Very keen on remembering. Remember, remember. And Moses wants God's people to always remember that the reason they are no longer slaves is because God has rescued them. God has rescued them. And so when God's people practice Sabbath, they are weakly reminding themselves that they do not have to work. They are not slaves. They are free because they have been rescued by a loving God. And so when we practice Sabbath today, we too remember that we are not slaves and that we can rest. We can rest. The difference, of course, for us today is that we don't just remember God's rescuing of his people from slavery in Egypt, but we also remember God's rescuing of his people from all sin, evil, death, through the cross of Jesus. And so Sabbath is, we could say, a way of acting out the gospel. A way of acting out the gospel. Commentator Patrick Miller, he writes this: "The Sabbath is a concrete symbol that God's saving grace is what redeems human life rather than any or all work. The Sabbath is a regular time to stop striving and reaching, to stop trying to justify oneself before God and everybody else. It is a time to remember we have been set free and accepted in the ultimate sense. As such, the Sabbath is an implicit but important pointer towards the reality of justification by faith." Pretty cool, right? So, on the Sabbath, we remember God. We remember the gospel, and we remember what Jesus has already done for us. And so, on the Sabbath, we stop and rest, because ultimately, there is nothing to prove, there is nothing to earn. God's grace and love is a gift that is already offered to us when we put our faith in him. And over time, Sabbath is a formational discipline that grows us to become more like Jesus. And over time, it is one of those things that grows us and shapes us into more graceful and more grateful and peaceful people who are secure and at peace in God's rest. And I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to grow into that. But the Sabbath is also a day to remember others. The Sabbath is not actually just all about me and my self-care routine, although that's great as well. But the Sabbath is also about other people. Just as in the original Exodus command, the Deuteronomy text here calls all people to rest on the Sabbath. And you might see there, it's pretty comprehensive in its list. It includes sons and daughters, slaves, oxen, even the donkeys get a mention, livestock, and foreigners among you. However, here in Deuteronomy, there's a little phrase added there in verse 14, you might be able to see it, where the text says something that the Exodus text doesn't say. It adds, "Everyone is to rest so that your male and female servants may rest as you do." Do you see that? What does that mean? What's the significance of that? Well, it means at least that Sabbath is not just about us. Sabbath is also about others. Walter Brueggemann, who's a biblical commentator, he writes this on this aspect of Sabbath. "Sabbath is the great day of equality when all are equally at rest. In a society defined by production and consumption, there are huge gradations of performance and therefore of worth and significance. But the Sabbath breaks that pattern because on the Sabbath, all are like you. Equal, equal worth, equal value, equal access, equal rest." In a sense then, practicing Sabbath is kind of a weekly strike, if you like, against inequality. A.J. Swoboda, in his book on Sabbath, he calls practicing Sabbath scheduled social justice. Scheduled social justice, where we rebel against the oppressive forces of the world and we bodily declare, by taking a nap, by celebrating, by resting and worshiping, that all people are equal before God. And so on the Sabbath, not only do we remember God and God's grace and the gospel, but on the Sabbath, we also remember others. Making sense? Very good. So, let me recap. We have seen that this text tells us, number one, how to practice Sabbath, and number two, what the purpose of Sabbath is. Practicing Sabbath is about keeping the day holy, a special day that we look forward to. And it's about not doing any work. And we've also seen that the purpose of Sabbath is about God and about others. We practice Sabbath then as a way of remembering God and His grace, and we practice Sabbath as a way of remembering other people and standing for injustice and inequality. So, let me bring this to a close. Told you I'd be good with my time. A week or so ago, on a Tuesday morning, I was supposed to call Pastor Matt, and I tried to call him, but he had a meeting or something, who knows, he's a busy guy. Then in the afternoon, Matt very diligently persevered and tried to call me back, and he tried to call me 3 times, but he missed me each time. The reason was because my phone was off, because on that particular week, I normally practice Sabbath on a Monday, remember, but I'd actually missed my Sabbath. So on this Tuesday, after a little bit of work in the morning, I tried to squeeze in my Sabbath on a Tuesday. So in a perhaps little bit of a ironic way, I confess my sins before you. On the very week that Matt was calling me to come and preach and chat with you about practicing Sabbath, on that week, I had not kept my Sabbath. And though that's maybe a little bit of a funny story, the reality is that as we will go from this place, and if you try and practice Sabbath, you'll probably quickly find that in our world today, there are a lot of external and internal forces that will make it very difficult for us to practice Sabbath. Firstly, there are lots of external forces. Our world today is extremely busy, and even with the best intentions, it can be hard to find time to practice a Sabbath. And this is why Walter Brueggemann, who I stole my title from, calls Sabbath an act of resistance, an act of resistance, as we have to learn to fight against the culture that demands that we keep working. So, lots of external forces that might stop us from keeping the Sabbath. But secondly, there are also lots of internal forces. Many of us have a critical inner voice inside us that actually tells us we can't stop. We can't stop because we are not good enough as we are. In a sense, then, we might, a bit like the people of Israel, even though we might be about to enter into the promised land, we are still under the power of some invisible, critical inner Pharaoh. To stretch the metaphor a little bit, we might say that our feet are in the promised land, but our hearts and our habits are still in Egypt. Pete Scazzaro writes this: "Sadly, many of us remain under a harsh and controlling taskmaster, a Pharaoh who lives inside our heads telling us we can't stop or rest. The culture shackles us in chains, telling us our only value is in what we achieve or produce, and that we are losers unless we accomplish more, whatever it may cost us. And yet the truth of the gospel is that you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything. If there's one thing you might hear about Sabbath here today, might it be this: you are not a slave. You are free. You do not have to justify your existence. You do not have to work to prove your worth or earn love. You are already loved. You are already loved. And I know this with confidence, because on the cross, Jesus Christ died for you and me, to set us free from every slavery to sin. You are free and you are loved. And so Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift of our loving God given for you. So this week, as you go into your week, can I encourage you, make a plan, think about how you could practice Sabbath, and practice it, give it a go. And as you do so, might you remember, you are not a slave. You are free, and you are God's beloved. You are God's beloved in Jesus. That's me. Amen. Let me pray, and then a team will lead us in a song. Let's pray. Father God, creator of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, true and living God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, have mercy on us and hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you that you look at us and you call us your beloved, that we are already loved and justified before you by your grace. And so, Lord, as we seek to practice Sabbath as our way of growing to become more like you, Lord, might that not feel like a burden or some sort of legalism, but something to celebrate, to look forward to. And as we do so, Lord, might you meet us there in our rest, in our sleeping, in our waking, in our celebrating with friends, in our prayers, in our slow walks and listening to music. Lord, meet us, speak to us. Show us again the beauty of your Son, Jesus, and your beauty of your love for us. And in Sabbath, Lord, might we remember that in you we don't have to prove or earn anything because you already look at us and call us your beloved. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory today. Amen.